Praise the Lord. I've had that song in my heart last half of the week. I found myself in the elevator at the hospital and just kind of started humming it and whistling it. You know, it's good to know he's there. Boy, I tell you, I thank God for his presence. I thank God for his spirit. You know, it's been so good to be here this morning. I tell you, started right off with the singing, right into Sunday school and continuing right on, and I just thank God for that. I just can't thank him enough. If you will, let's turn to Isaiah chapter number 41. Just have one verse to look at. Like I always try to do, but just going to trust the Lord with it this morning. And this was the verse of the day, the scripture of the day on the Bible app. I guess it was Friday morning. You know, it's a verse that I don't recall ever studying out. Brother Allen, it's a very common scripture. And I've been through there before and maybe partially quoted it before. When you read it, you'll know it. You've probably heard it quoted many times. You can blow right by it if you're not careful. Actually, it's one of Brandy's favorite verses. I've heard her say it many times and kind of referred to it. But, you know, I just started looking back and thought, man, you know, I don't believe I've ever preached out of this. It's too good not to preach out of this morning. I believe it's right where the Lord would have us to be. It's like having an insurance policy. The Lord just gave this to me this morning. I know insurance is probably a love-hate thing. I've worked in it a little bit, but it's kind of like having an insurance policy, and if you had things that were covered, insurance agent came out and said, you know, Jason, this is covered. We'll take care of this for you. Don't worry. You're in good hands. We got you covered. If I was to turn around to my agent and say, no, don't worry about that. I think I'll just go ahead, Brother Norman, I think I'll just go ahead and pay for this myself. I don't make a lot of sense, does it? Nobody out there saying amen, that makes sense. But as Christians, there's a lot of things that we take upon ourselves that we shouldn't. There's a lot of things that we have covered in his word that we shouldn't be carrying around. I don't know. Lord just laid this on my heart this morning. I'm here to file a claim this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm putting my claim in him. He promised me some things. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of times what you see in God's word, what he asks of us, is to basically a lot of times not do something so he can take care of the rest. Look at it. You'll see it. You'll see what I'm saying here. And you know, just thinking back on this week, and it's kind of interesting how the Lord does place things in a certain way so we can definitely grow from it. And I'm not saying that there's any major life-shattering events, but it doesn't take much for us to pack on a little here and a little there, and you're kind of carrying a pretty good load. It doesn't take long. You know, last week we didn't have service due to the weather and what have you, and went through and had a good Sunday and getting ready, knowing that we're taking Dad down for surgery and what have you, and a lot of testimony or personal testimony this morning, and so we had that on our mind. We were looking past into that and had Brandy's mother on our mind, maybe her potentially going down to spend some time with her and help her. Where she had her accident, she's sore, not really able to do a lot of things. So our mind is kind of on that and looking forward to things to come. Well, get up Monday morning, bright and early, about 5 o'clock, I guess it was, and went to the restroom and realized we don't have any water. I was like, oh, no. You know, I didn't schedule that. I had two other things scheduled this week. I didn't have that scheduled. You know, we kind of looked at that, and I thought, well, it's the breaker. You know, you check the little things you can, and that don't work. And you kind of look around, and, you know, it was about 4 years ago, we realized that our pump, our well pump, there's four of us in the neighborhood to share that. It was kind of faulty, and they said, well, you know, you can fix it now, or you can wait. It might last a day, and it might last 10 years. We're praying for that 10 years. Well, we had four out of it, and found out it had gone out, and so it didn't just affect my house. It was all four of us that there in the neighborhood, and so we get that looked at and come to find out, guess what? It wasn't just the water pump. There's a reason why the water pump burned out. There's a leak somewhere in the line. So it kind of compounded a little bit. We had to find out where that leak's at. So our mind has reverted to that and digging up in the neighborhood, and that causes a lot of stir. And, of course, the water's off. You can't use the water. You can't do all those kind of things. And Had to shock the system, put chlorine in the system so you couldn't drink the water. You know, all this kind of stuff is going on. And you know, you get to looking around and everything. Went to work on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, Brandy, I guess it was Tuesday evening, I guess it was, or going into Wednesday, she was going to look, walked around the house, and guess what? There was water streaming out of the side of our house. We didn't order any of that. We didn't plan for any of that, trying to figure out what that was. I'd never seen that before. So you're trying to think all this stuff going on, and had a friend, thank the Lord for good friends, a plumber friend. He said, I'll come out tonight and look at it. He came out and looked, and thankfully there was no leak under the house or anything like that. It was just where all that massive rain had come through and pushed through and everything. And had somebody else come look at it, and he said, oh, this ain't bad at all. You just need to dry it out. Well, that was some good news. Some good news to hear about some of these things. You see all this compounding the night before you're getting ready to go to take your dad down to surgery. You're praying about that also. It's just, it doesn't take much till all these things kind of add up. You know, you think a little bit, and it's not a pity party. We're just human. You work through things. That's what we're supposed to do. And just giving you a play-by-play for the week, and you kind of compound these things. And brain's like, I guess I'm going to stay home and make sure we get this taken care of, and sent Brandy's mom some groceries, trying to do some things that way, and just looking after things, and it was time to get ready to go, and everything was working out. But lo and behold, the next morning, after Dad's surgery, you know, we spent the night there, and I'll give a little plug here. I have a very newfound appreciation for people who are staying in the hospital long periods of time. To be honest with you, I had Sister Ashley on my heart most of the time down there. I was down there one night, me and Mom, and I was pleasantly surprised. They did have some nice arrangements. I didn't know what it was going to be like, but they had a nice fold-out bed, and Mom had that. I used the recliner, and Dad and his bed, and it could have been a lot worse. I mean, obviously, but I thought, man, you just can't rest in here. And you know what I'm talking about if you've ever spent any time in the hospital. You know, Dad had his bed, but he couldn't be restful because of his surgery. Mom had her place, had my place, and if you notice, if you've ever stayed in the hospital with somebody, those nurses, when they come in to check on the person that's sick, they don't care to bother you. they're not going to worry about you. But I got to say that they wake you up a lot and check on a lot. But they were very kind and took very good care of us down there, and I appreciate that. But all I can think about is Sister Ashley. Day after day after day, that's her life. What I experienced one night, I mean, this is multiple nights for her. I say all that to say this. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your claim is about this morning, but I know you have something. You have worries. You have things on your heart. You have things on your mind, but I want you to know that this applies to you also. This verse that I'm reading here, this is a promise. If you go back and study it out, it's a promise that God made to Israel. Israel was in captivity at this time, and God made this promise to them to let them know that better days were coming, better things were to come. And he told Israel what they needed to do or what they needed not to do. And he makes a promise as to what he will do. I tell you, I've been guilty of this. And you say, well, preacher, what you had, your little problems versus other people's problems are a lot less. But you know, if we can learn to practice in our little problems what God is prescribing here, it will help us in the big problems. I believe that. It's good to trust the Lord anytime, but if you learn to trust Him with the little things, it'll help you when the big things come. The same thing applies. You'll find here, God doesn't say that this only works in this situation. This doesn't only work in the small situations. God is saying here, this will even work in the big situations. Where the risk is greater, I believe the reward will be greater also. And that's on the authority of His Word. But I'll read this morning, and we'll get started. It says here in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had this week. Lord, just working through everything, God, but being able to see you through each step of it, each part of it, God, and feeling your presence, God, seeing your power, seeing your provision. God, I thank you for that. I'm just unworthy, but you're always there, God, and I just thank you so much for that. The little things, the big things, God, you're always there. Lord, I thank you for that. I can't thank you enough for that, Lord. God, I thank you for taking care of us this week. I thank you for taking care of Dad, our travels, all that we experienced this week, Lord. We just thank you that you were there through all of that. Lord, Sister Ashley, little Zeke, Brother Curtis, little Uriah, God, we pray for each of them, Lord, sincerely this morning. God, we thank you for allowing us to think of other people, experience some things to cause us to really reflect on the blessings we have, the needs of others, but also knowing, God, that you're there for every single one of us. You're there to provide for every need. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your presence this morning, everything that's been said and done, Lord, in your name, to worship you, to uplift you, God. I praise you and thank you for that. Your word tells us that the Son of Man must be lifted up, that men could be drawn unto you, drawn unto him, God, and for salvation. Lord, we thank you so much for that this morning. God, I ask that you help me. I can't do anything of myself, and I know that. Lord, people here today need help. And Lord, I just pray that you deliver that help. Lord, your way, your time, and in your power, God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I really enjoyed reading this and studying this out on early Friday morning. I was there in the hospital, and that was the verse of the day. And I thought, I'm just going to study this verse out. And it's different when you read it. It's different when you study it out, because when you start dissecting a verse to see what's in that verse, you got to know the meanings of those words or the context of what it's talking about, which requires you to go back a few chapters and read to see what led up to this point. Then read some after to see the outcome of this point. And I tell you, the outcome of this point is still to come. We're still waiting on his return. We're still waiting for him to come back. And I can't wait to hear what Brother Dan has for us next week. I've been really looking forward to that and praying for that. Coming up on the 21st, looking forward to him coming and being with us and talking more about the prophecy of Israel and the study of Israel. But to get into the message this morning, I want us to start out with two things, because what you see here from the very first part of this is the Lord is telling us what our part is. What our part is. If you want to right here, you can say, these are my part. You can go ahead and say it. One, two, three. These are my parts. There you go. That's good. It's just good to get involved, because here's the thing. For this to be real to you, you have to make it personal to you. You have to. When you read the Word of God, you have to say, this applies to me. God is talking to me. If you say he's talking to somebody else or this is a good thought, you will not take it as far as you need to in your life. You just won't do that. I'll read that and say, that's for somebody else. But I'll tell you, Friday morning, the Lord said, this is for you. There's a little word in here that says, this is for you. And it says right here in verse number 10, it says, fear thou not. You know who thou is? Raise your hand. You're thou. I'm thou. That's Sister Karen. That's who it's talking about. Fear thou not. See, the Lord made that very personal. When we read his word, we should make it personal to us and what it means. And he is saying here, first and foremost, he's telling them what not to do. He says, fear thou not. I think about this, preached on it a lot, and I'll continue to preach on it a lot, because I do believe it's an issue or something that people face. It says, fear thou not. Fear is anxiety, painful emotion or passion excited by an expected or expectation of evil. How many of you feel that way a lot of the time? You can raise your hand if you want to. I mean, ain't nobody here but us. I mean, honestly, don't we feel that way a lot? Brother Nathan, that's how it was this week. I mean, I wasn't in panic mode. Like Josh, panic, panic. I wasn't in panic mode, but it was kind of like, well, what's going to happen next? You know, we started out the week with a little thing, but it kind of continued to grow. I mean, you kind of get to a place, what's going to happen next? And you know what was going through our mind and all of our neighbors' minds? It wasn't just like we were in panic mode again, but it's like, how much is this going to cost? Yeah, that's a weight on the mind. That comes on the mind a lot of times. If it's not a real expectation of fear or something bad in that moment, then we think about, well, how much is this going to cost? That creates anxiety. That creates worry. Things like that creates worry. When you hear someone is sick or you're facing an unexpected bill or something like that comes up, and you can't help but these things just to add up on you. You know, the devil, I think we kind of think that he's just going to do this big, massive thing, and sometimes maybe it is that way. But you know, he's more so of a wedge than he is like a home run hitter a lot of times. He's a wedge, just small. He gets in a small place and just kind of works his way in little by little. We've seen that. You sit in his word, and you know, sometimes that's kind of how it is. I won't do this massive thing, but if I can just get in here for a few minutes, if I can get in there for a few minutes and I can get over here for a few minutes, I'll have him. He doesn't have to come up with new devices because he knows how we are. All he's got to do is cast a little bit of a doubt. That's all he's got to do. You have this on your mind, that on your mind. Next thing you know, what? You're overwhelmed. You're full of fear. If we're not careful, we will live in fear a lot of the time of our life. I think the Bible, I didn't look this up, but I think, 365 times or how many times the Bible says, fear not. That's one for every day. The Bible says for us not to fear. But we stay in that position a lot of times. We're fearful. We're afraid. Afraid of what's going to happen next. And I can manage this. But we'll say this sometimes. If one more thing happens, I can't tolerate this. Because we think just kind of living on that breaking point. But what he's telling us here, our part, my part, he told me first and foremost, Friday morning, fear not. Don't be afraid. And then thinking about that and looking that over, I'm like, well, Lord, I've got to figure this out. Fear not. He's going to remind us of some things. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll get to his part here in just a minute. It says here, be not dismayed, disheartened, deprived of courage. There's things I've faced in life that I feel that I just don't have the courage to move forward, the courage to face it. If some of these things are hard, telling people things they don't want to hear or dealing with things. Don't be dismayed. You know, when we think that things are moving in a certain path or a certain order and all of a sudden a little cog gets thrown in the wheel and it changes everything, we get dismayed. Now, that's just not part of the plan. That's not how this is supposed to happen. You see, that's how our minds work. There's two different things that the devil really tries to keep us in a place, be there, or fear not, or be not dismayed. And I was thinking about worry. I was thinking about being dismayed. And is it ever right to be dismayed? Because if we spend a lot of time there as Christians, as many had admitted, then why are we there? It's a good question. If we are in the place that God would have us to be in, doing what we are supposed to be doing, we're not supposed to carry fear. That's what he's already told us here. Now, that might be a lot to try to take in, but that's what God's word just told me. That's what he's told us. I thought about this. What if I'm not living the way that I'm supposed to be living? Then I'm probably living fearful for a different reason. Because I know I'm not living the way the Lord would have me to live. So that's a different position to be in. If you and I are living in sin or taking on things that we shouldn't take on and do, and if we're fearful of that, remorseful of that, we should be. Child of God is not supposed to live in sin and be okay with it. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying live any old way and don't be afraid of that. If you're living in sin, you need to deal with that. If there's something in there that needs to be out, that needs to go. The Bible teaches us that. It's clear. He's talking about things. If you're talking about people that are living the way they're supposed to be living, when these outside things come in and happen to us, believe it or not, he's telling us not to be afraid. That's a big claim, isn't it? I mean, seriously, Brother Norman, there's things when I get phone calls of people that are sick and I'm fearful of what that they're going to be going through and the pain that they're going to fear or feel and what they're going to go through, that concerns me. When things happen in my own personal life, I think about that with Dad and what he's facing. I'm just concerned about those things. It would be easy to be fearful, but the Bible's saying here, God is telling us, fear not. Don't be dismayed. Don't be confused. This is the good part about the policy that we have with God, with our Lord and Savior, with Jesus Christ. This is some things that we need to be sure of. Last week, I preached on the title and the topic of being settled. That's being placed, being established, being determined, being composed, being adjusted. I tell you, the Lord will adjust you in your life to be where He wants you to be and be what He wants you to be. There's nothing wrong with that. He wants us to be settled in Him. Just like with Abraham, He wanted Abraham to understand, no matter what I ask of you or no matter what you face, you need to be settled that I am your God and I'm going to take care of you. If the Lord is going to use people and work people or have people that's going to work for Him, those people need to be sure of what God is going to do and what He's capable of. You don't want any doubters out there. Would you want to send Thomas out and represent you? Think about it. Or somebody like Peter, maybe. Peter, now he failed the Lord, but my goodness, he had some zeal about him. Think about it. What kind of people are we? What kind of representatives are we? Are we sure of Him? When you think about the word sure, that means certainly knowing, having full confidence. It's easy to have full confidence when things are going good. But you know what we'll do? We'll think it's because we're good and we're living good and we deserve it. You ever think about that? Well, the Lord's blessing me. He's good to me. Well, you know, I am a pretty good fella. I do try to do good work. So it's no surprise He's blessed me because that ain't how it works. Look at Job. Just, upright. No cause for the things that happened in his life. All these bad things started happening. It wasn't any fault of Job's. We see that and we learn that. But you see these two things here. I want us to see, number one, my part. I make this personal this morning. My part is to fear not. My part is to not be dismayed. Just like with Abraham. Not that he knew what God was going to do, but he knew God was going to handle the situation. The situations that we face today, what you're going through, if it's purchasing homes, purchasing cars, trying to find the right people to work on your home, do all these things, we're worried about being swindled, we're worried about paying too much. I tell you what we need to be worried about is putting God number one in our life, first and foremost. We can miss out on that so many times and in so many different ways. It's not even funny. We can do that and not even realize it, that we're not putting Him first. Well, you see two things here that is our part, but I want us to see five things that is God's promise. This is what He promised to do if we would just place Him where He is supposed to be. I thought about this week. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's the mind. That's the first thoughts that go through my mind in these situations. What am I going to do? There's two things that God is asking us not to do. Fear not. And be not dismayed. That's the two things you need to focus on first and foremost. I'm telling you, it's just based off of God's word that I can even say that. And I'm not going to say it's easy. There's big things in life and there's little things in life, but this is what God is telling us to do. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I got another thing for us to say. I am never alone. 1, 2, 3. I am never alone. Now, I want you to think about that. Brother Nathan, you ever feel alone?
Sure, in the flesh.
I think about you a lot, brother. I do. Think about people. Think about people, their circumstances, their situations. But you know, God said here, I am with thee. Period. I mean, there's no I'm with thee if. I'm with thee if you're there. I am with thee. That means I'm never alone. That's probably one of the number one things Satan tries to make me feel like, though. You're the only one that's ever felt this way. You're the only one ever facing this. You're alone, brother. Just face it. You're alone. You don't have any friends. You think that's crazy. The devil will tell you stuff like that. What's the first thing he tells us? He says, I am with thee. You know, we can stop right there and that's enough. If God be for us, who could be against us? That's enough. That's only one of the perks that he has. I mean, do you ever even think about that when these catastrophes strike or when problems strike? Do you just stop down and think, I'm with thee. God is with me. I'm not alone in this. The devil wants you to push you, get you in panic mode, make your mind race. So you're not thinking clearly. And you look, we've studied so much about Israel and the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over the last few months and in the book of Hebrews. We really need to understand and realize when we read that and see who that God is, that's the same God we're talking about this morning. Well, he's powerful and he did some mighty things in the Old Testament, didn't he? He is with us. He is with you. I'm never alone. That's a powerful thing to see this morning. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. Look what he says here, for I am thy God. If you really go back and study this chapter here, it talks a lot about idolatry and what people put their confidence in. And it's usually a compare contrast to how God is more powerful, God is more important than these idols that these people made to worship. A lot of idolatry going on in Israel during that time. There's a lot of mingling. Brother Bradley mentioned this yesterday when we had our men's breakfast. There's a lot of idolatry that was going on mingling, not just the full forsaking, but it was kind of a mingling. We do that a lot in America today. We do that a lot in Watauga County today. What do you mean? What do you mean? We put a lot of confidence in what we think we have of ourselves. Well, I've got this in place, and I've got this in place. There's nothing wrong with being prepared, but I tell you, there's things that come up in life that you can only be prepared if you have Jesus Christ. There's only so far that some of these benefits that you can get in the world will go, but Jesus Christ is good in this world and the world to come. He knows how to help you. He's saying, I am your God. You know, you remember these pagans. You remember the Philistines and these pagans and everybody there were afraid to fight Israel up on the mountain. They tried to pull them down in the valley because that's where they had a chance to beat them. Why? Because they know the God on the mountain is going to wipe us out. You see, that's the same God that we have. You ever think about it like that? It's not that there's an Old Testament God and then there's a New Testament God and then we mingle something with it. It's, no, God is God. Is he your God? I mean, really? You worship him like that. Is he your God? He's saying here, I am thy God. What does that mean to you this morning when you read that scripture? For I am thy God. And it says here also, he says, I will strengthen thee. It means to make you stronger, encourage you, and to establish you. I may use this, you probably already know this, but to get stronger, there's a breaking down that takes place first. Might not realize that or think that. You think that you think about health or you think physically that the body would just get bigger, that you would just grow. Maybe eat more protein. Maybe you take this or take that and the body would just grow. Did you know what it is the body is breaking down and then rebuilding. The body is breaking down and rebuilding. If a person goes to the gym, lifts weights, that's what happens. Those muscles break down and then when they rebuild, they grow back more. And a person gets stronger. That's what you want to do. You got to have a good diet, do all those things, and a person gets stronger. What I've found in my life, you know what happens when I get broken down with these little things that kind of come down through life that you deal with, it's spiritually we get broken down also. You have to start exercising your faith. You have to start exercising your trust, and you have to start exercising these things in a different way. And you know, if you never really get pressed out of your comfort zone, you don't know how strong you are. But you can rest assured that as the Lord, as these things are breaking down and he is rebuilding you, it's for a purpose. He's rebuilding Israel here in this context. He's telling them they're going to be restored. Not only is he going to take care of us, but he's going to make us stronger. I take a lot of delight in that. You know, as we face things, I look back in life and I see how things have happened progressively where if this bad thing hadn't happened and I hadn't grown from that, I would not have been prepared for the next bad thing to happen, to grow from it. There's some hard things that happen in life and there's probably things that we'll face that we need to be stronger from. See, that's what the Lord is doing here. I tell you, in our church, we face some hard things. We face some things that we need to be strengthened from, and I believe the Lord is doing that. Do you feel that spirit this morning? That wasn't by mistake. That's the Lord saying, I am with thee. I'm going to strengthen you. So that encourages me. This is his word being alive. It's being true. Praise God for it. I will strengthen thee. And he says here, the fourth thing, he says, I will help thee. I will assist, I'll aid, I'll relieve, I'll help one in distress. That's a beautiful thing about not being alone and knowing that he is there. There's times that just short of feeling it physically, that I can feel the Lord giving me a hug, wrapping his arms around me. You know how valuable that is? If you've ever felt it, you know that. When things come through life, he's not leaving us out there. He's going to assist us. He's going to show. Having a good assistant is worth everything. It's an amazing thing. I tell you, I'll say this here. I've got a good friend that I work with, and I thank God for him. He's a blessing. Have an assistant at work. And you know, when if I'm not there, he handles things and he takes care of things. You know what? A good assistant, it's invaluable. God is saying here, I will assist you. I will help you. I will assist you. I will bring aid. When you're in need of something, when you're short of something, I will supply that need for you. I will relieve that. I will help you. I'll help you while you're in distress. There's no better help than the Lord. I thank God for every friend I have and every help that I get. I called a friend the other night. I'm just saying, I called him just to say, could you come tomorrow? Could you come the next couple of days? He said, I'm just across the hill. I'll come tonight. That's relief. Guess what? If we're never alone and he's always there, we've always got help. Always. Again, I'm here to file a claim. I talked to my insurance. I'll poke a little fun here. I talked to my insurance and found out that what was going on wasn't covered. You can say that too, yeah? Wasn't covered, but that's all right. God's covering it a different way. It was amazing. You have a friend come over and take care of things and help things. Be there to relieve, to help one in distress. It'd be one thing just for him to be there and sit there with you or hold you or be there with you. But look what he says here also, the fifth thing. I will uphold thee. I think sometimes one of the biggest things that I fear is failure. Maybe putting yourself out there and falling or failing. Maybe going for something and failing. You live in the real world, you work. Maybe there's an opportunity for promotion at work or different things that you face, and you think, I'm going to put myself out there, but what if I fail? What if I don't get it? What if I don't succeed? You see here, the Lord, he covers a lot of parts in this verse. It's very rich. He says, I will uphold thee. That uphold, that means to lift on high, to elevate, to support in any state, to maintain, to continue. I like what it says, to support in any state. I'll help you in whatever it is that you're facing. I'll uphold you in that. You stay with me. You don't fear. You don't be dismayed. I will lift you up. And I look at this, and I think about times in my life where I didn't feel like I was successful in what was going on. Well, you know what I found? Brother Ben, I was living in fear. I was being dismayed. I wasn't honoring him the way he asked me to. That's on me. That's my fault. If I don't give him the glory and the honor that he deserves and that he needs, that's my fault. That's not his fault. And I'll close with this morning here again. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. Think about the right hand. That signifies power. In the word of God, his righteousness, his purity of heart, his rectitude of life. And what it's talking about is being conformed to truth. He is saying, I will uphold you by my righteousness. You look at God's word, what it says here, the truth of we have what is outlined, his righteousness of truth. He's here for your best interest and to take care of you. He wants us to know that. He wants us to hold on to that. One of the things I tried to do this week, you say, yeah, it's not that big of a deal what you faced, brother. That wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah, looking back, it doesn't feel like that big of a deal. But when I was facing it, it felt like a really big deal because it felt unknown. But you know, I tried. I'm just going to say it like this. I tried my best just to say, Lord, I'm just going to take you at your word.
You're telling me not to worry about it? You're telling me not to get out, be dismayed, and tell everybody about my confusion and worry about it? You're telling me not to do those things? I'll do my best not to do that. And you know, I felt the peace of God just move in like, just sweet. Just one of the sweetest things. Say, well, my situation, if you do what he says, he will uphold what he says. And it's not on anything on me. That's between you and him. I'll tell you, just the peace that he can bring and the worry that he can take away, if you can give it to him, he'll do the rest. There's two things he asks us not to do. Be not fearful, be not dismayed. Trust me, give it to me, and I'll take care of it. Again, I'll close with this. How many of us here this morning would say, tell our insurance agent, if he come in and said, you're covered, don't you worry about a thing. How many of you would say, well, I still want to pay for this? We need to file a claim. God's got us covered. That's what he's telling us right here in his word. If you will stand with me this morning. I appreciate your wonderful attention. I'll ask the ladies to come. We will have time of invitation.